I somehow feel that those that prepare the lectionary play tricks on me, and they know when I'm about to go away, and they give me hard texts so that I have to work hard before I go. Dear brothers and sisters, grace and peace be unto you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We are still at the foot of the mountain. This text that we heard, it's still the Sermon on the Mount. And next Sunday, we will still be at the foot of the mountain listening to the Sermon on the Mount. So if you were here two Sundays ago, you'll remember that we began with the opening of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor of heart," and so on and so forth. And we learned that what Jesus was teaching us was that blessedness, that being blessed, does not depend on anything external, whether it's wealth, whether it's position, whether it's education, even our mood or our state of mind. But blessedness is pure gift. Blessedness is grace. It's the gift that God gives us of being in relationship with God. So to be blessed is to be in a relationship with God. So that was the opening of the Sermon on the Mount. Then the Sunday after that, last Sunday, we saw how Jesus, after preaching the gospel, after giving that good news to the people, then shared with them the mission. Jesus, as the king in the mountain sitting on the throne, tells them, your mission is to be salt in the world. Your mission is to be light in the world. And we saw that to let our light shine does not mean to brag. It does not mean to practice our righteousness so that other people see how great we are. But we saw that it means to translate righteousness into justice. We saw that it means that it is not enough to just feel bad for somebody else, but that we need to translate that into works that actually benefit the other person. And then today, the text that we just heard is Jesus going radical. Jesus really takes the law, the Torah, and he goes radical with it. But I mean radical in the original sense of the word, from the Latin root radix, which means root. So Jesus is taking us to the root of the law, to the root of the Torah, so that we understand the real meaning of the law, so that we can truly fulfill the law. And so with these examples that Jesus gives us today, he is trying to help us to go deep down into the roots of the law. And the roots of the law are nothing other than love. The law is about love and the way that we practice love for our neighbors, for our sisters and brothers. Now, we would be totally lost and not understand this text if we don't remember something important about interpreting the scriptures. And in the same way that realtors, I think we have a few realtors around here, in the same way that realtors have the mantra location, 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 which means, of course, that the exact same house in the McLean would not sell for the same amount of money if you move it to D.C., right? The location matters, or to Manassas. The credo of those trying to interpret the Bible is context, context, context. If we take things out of context, we lose their meaning. And so think, for example, of a particular thing that we just heard that has brought so much pain to so many families throughout history. That text about divorce, that whoever divorces a woman, in a sense, forces her to commit adultery. How many people I've known that really suffer because of that text? Well, we really need to remember context, context, context. We need to remember that that saying does not mean the same thing in a patriarchal society where women were absolutely dependent on men, so that as a girl, she was property of the father, and then when she became a teenager and she could marry, she would be passed from the father to another man as property almost. And then if that man died, it didn't matter how wealthy he was, she was at the mercy of the brothers of the men. She was at the mercy of society. And so for Jesus to remind men that they have to think twice before divorcing, they have to act for the well-being of the other, it's not a universal condemnation of divorce, but it is a radicalization of the law. It is going to the roots of the law. It is reminding people that love has to be practiced in concrete ways. We will see Jesus himself, the one that last Sunday was talking about that he's not going to change anything in the law, that he's going to fulfill the law. Then we see him breaking the law all the time, healing people on the Saturday, right? When the law says you shall not work on Saturday, he is healing on Saturday. Because when you understand the law that way, then you understand that sometimes in order to fulfill the law, you need to break the law. Sometimes in order to fulfill the spirit of the law, you might need to betray the letter of the law. We need to go radical. We need to go down to the roots. We need to live out from love and for love. But even that is not enough. Because as I was telling the children, sometimes what we want to give the other is not exactly what the other needs. Sometimes when we think that we're being kind and loving to another, we are actually making things worse. Anybody that has read the novel Don Quixote understand how that happens. He goes around thinking that he is saving themselves and that he is helping people. He really makes things worse because he didn't stop to listen. So love needs to begin with something called empathy. We need to have the ability to feel the feelings of another. Now, there's some interesting research that has been done on empathy. So bear with me and listen to this. There are a group of scientists that study the brain. They were doing experiments on monkeys. And this is what they did. They had a monkey, and they gave a banana to the monkey. And then while the banana was eating, while the monkey was eating the banana, they were measuring brain activity. They were measuring what's happening with the neurons, you know, the neurons being the cells in the brain. Which ones were being activated. And so they charted that. And then they brought in another monkey, and now they had one monkey eating a banana and the other monkey sitting in front of it looking at the monkey that is eating the banana. And they measure what's happening in the brain of the monkey that is observing the other one enjoying a banana. Needless to say, this one doesn't have a banana. And yet, what happened in his brain was very similar, if not identical, to what was happening in the brain of the monkey that was eating the banana. So it was not just that the monkey was witnessing what was happening, but it was like a simulation. The brain of the monkey was going through the same motions as if he was eating a banana. Now they call those mirror neurons because his brain was mirroring what the other brain was doing. And so now they also believe that we human beings have a little bit more sophisticated, but they're still mirror neurons nonetheless. So that when we see another person, we do not only think to ourselves, oh, that person must be sad, but we actually feel sadness in our own body. When we see a person that is in pain, we don't only think, oh, that person must be in pain, but we actually feel pain in our body. We need to nurture that. We need to continue to practice putting ourselves in the shoes of the other. We need to practice feeling what the other one is feeling. But even that is not enough. Because you can feel the pain of the other, and if the other is your enemy, you can feel really happy about the pain that the other is feeling. That's the problem with psychopaths. I mean, they do feel the other, but they don't make the transition from empathy to sympathy. In other words, to compassion. So we need to also not only feel, that's the first step, we need to feel the other. We need to put ourselves in the shoes of the other. But then we also need to practice compassion. We also need to practice mercy. And I think that that is what Jesus is teaching us here with the law. Even the words that we use to speak to another person, they affect our brain. They affect the way that we feel about the other. In the same way that we develop certain habits, some of them good, some of them not so good, such as you walk into your house and you put your keys in the same place. Walk into your house, you put the keys in the same place. Without even thinking, you develop that habit. The law, the Torah, the instructions that Jesus is giving us, they are meant to nourish, to nurture those habits of loving kindness and compassion towards the other. And I think that today, in the environment that we're living, with so much hate, with so much fear, with so much prejudice, I think that regardless of what you think about an issue, it is extremely important that we first try to feel the world from the perspective of the other, and that we develop compassion for the other. That was something that Gandhi did when he was in India. I was reading his autobiography, and it's amazing how he said that his friends didn't like the fact that he felt, if I'm going to be effective, in negotiating with the other, even if the other doesn't even think that I'm a human being. I need to understand what is the truth in what the other is saying, because nobody fights for a lie. So there must be a truth in what he's saying. And until I understand what that truth is, I cannot have meaningful dialogue and conversation with the other. So regardless of who the other is or what the other believes, we need to learn to put ourselves in that situation, to feel after them, and to have a sense of compassion. And then we can more effectively engage in a way that is constructive. But there's one more thing. That's not it. That's not all. There's one more thing. Yes. You see? The mirror neurons, the mirror process, also works in reverse. So that I can provoke a reaction in the other. If I smile, you smile back. If I extended my hand, you extend it back to me. And so if we want to begin to change a little bit of that hate, fear, prejudice that surrounds us, we can start by mirroring, I guess, the attitude that we want to see. It's not just a cliche. It is true. We need to be the change that we want to see in the world. We need to begin by extending kindness and love and by practicing hope to others. And that way, there's an opening through which God comes and begins to change the world that we live in. So may we practice kindness and love. Amen.